Welcome back to Bring on the Weird. You're Elijah.
That's me. You're Will.
That's me.
Okie dokie.
We're getting deep into this one. Kind of deep.
I don't know. Are we?
Probably not. Because my man, Eddie Joey, I don't know how to take him.
Eddie Joey. He's a strange cat.
He's a different kind of dude. He's really only, like 7 months younger than me in all reality. I was born November 82. He was born June 83.
Right, yeah.
But he just had a different kind of upbringing.
Yeah, I mean, was his dad in the military?
I think so, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Or he worked for the military.
Right.
Oh, I think he was. I think his dad and his grandfather and all, I think they were all military men.
Like his whole military also, family.
Yeah, his dad also brought, like, stuff home with him.
Oh, right.
And that's when he first saw the, the Commodore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a crazy thing to see, right?
Like, one of the first ones ever.
Yeah.
And then he immediately, well, according to his book, Permanent Record, he immediately got into it.
Yeah.
I mean, playing games and I don't know, he wasn't quite programming, according to that story, when he first got the Commodore. No, he was playing with a Nintendo, right? And he went to take the Nintendo apart, and that's when his dad took him to work.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he said he tried to put it back together. He pushed one side down, the other side would bulge up, because he didn't put it all together right. We've all done that, right? I mean, I know I've taken, when I was younger, I took something apart. I'm like, all right, I fixed it. Gotta put it back together, and it's like, all right, well.
Nope.
I'm missing two screws. I don't know where they went. You know, now it doesn't come on, and for some reason it's starting to smoke.
Uh-oh. Tell it to quit.
Yeah.
Vaping's no good either.
Slap a nicotine patch on it. Stop smoking.
Well, hey, what are you drinking?
I got a Golden Monkey by Victory.
Ooh.
Yesterday, they didn't know it was yesterday.
But in real time.
Yeah. I had a Sour Monkey. Now today I'm going Golden Monkey.
I'm back to my peach Jim Beam that my wonderful wife got me.
Well,
I was
you
thinking you were like...
Buttering her.
Do what?
You are buttering her up. Does she even listen?
No.
Well, then you can say what you want.
She's only one room away. Calm down. I was thinking, yesterday you made a comment that I had not just a couple of fingers, but a whole fist, but I use an ice sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So all the stuff goes around the sphere. So I just let the sphere float, and then that's enough.
Yeah, the ice sphere. That's hard for me to say.
I know, right?
It's a nice item.
Oh yeah,
ice sphere.
The sphere mold.
I feel like I have like a lisp when I try to say it. Ice sphere. you know another thing I can't say. I know off topic. I can say it if I go, that's disgusting. I can say. But if I try to say it in a normal pace, like a normal human, it comes out, that's disgusting. That's just, I can't do it.
It's all one.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I totally get it. There's a couple words, a couple phrases that you gotta slow down if you're gonna say them correctly.
I just don't say it. I say that's gross.
I mean, you could also take the Porky Pig route and just completely avoid it and do something else.
Bleep, 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 that's disgusting.
Edward Joseph Snowden.
The man.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, he brought all this news to us, man.
Ooh. I don't even know where my final thoughts are yet. I haven't even got there. And that's going to be at the end of the episode, obviously, but I don't know. There's a whole lot of 51 shades of gray.
Yeah, there's a lot. But we figured, why not do Snowden, right? He's got the new book out. He was just on Rogan.
Sure, why not? We're in podcast time, where this one is already post-Halloween, so we're out of October, but we're actually recording it before Halloween. Time traveling.
Time travel.
It's not just for Michael McIntosh, who has 50 damn Twitters who keep He keeps following us on all these different Twitter accounts. Future President 2024, 2056, 2060. Dude.
He might be telling the truth.
All 15 of his Twitter accounts.
Maybe. He's really got to get the word out.
I guess. But anyway, Edward Joseph Snowden, taking apart Nintendo's. Yeah, I took apart Nintendo 64 controls. It was probably one of my first. No, I took stuff apart before that, but that was just a look at it. But yeah. I took the Nintendo 64 controls apart to repair them. And the control stick, all the goodies inside the control stick, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shocker, because I took apart, I don't remember if it was a PlayStation or an Xbox, the 360 or the PS3. I don't remember which controller it was, but I took it apart, and when I saw the joystick, I said, all right, this is broken. I threw it in.
It's frozen.
Too complicated.
Yeah. So you just went out and bought a new one.
Yeah.
Why not? You didn't have any. Well, you could have kept it for parts, maybe. But that's one thing I did, because inside the control stick is where most of the brains live for the control. So the wire comes out, and the end of the wire that connects to the 64 matches the color of the control. So I'm like, oh, interesting. So after I was successful the one time, I'm like, oh, man. I'll just switch some backs around. I'll switch this and that around. So I had one that plugged in with the gray end on the 64, but the front of it was black and the back of it was blue, and another one that was green and black, and it had a green cord it plugged in. I got crazy. But I did not do anything like young Mr. Snowden.
I'm calling him young.
He's younger than me.
He's older than me. So, I mean, we both listened to his book.
Yeah.
Did you finish it?
I didn't finish it.
No.
And at this point, I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of know what happened.
Yeah. It just,
I didn't.
A lot of it is just like memoir stuff. Him.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I thought it was going to be a lot more of him uncovering the secrets.
Right. But I think he either said it at the beginning of the book, or he said it on Rogan, that he is not out to actually tell things himself. He's leaving that up to the journalist.
Yeah.
And apparently only the journalist, whoever he revealed that stuff to, only they know how much he actually divulged to them. Because it could be a little, or it could be a metric fuck ton of information on whatever he pulled out of NSA and CIA documents.
Yeah, and he said he wasn't even going to give all the info. Like, he found stuff that he thinks should stay secret.
I don't know how to feel about that. Yeah, I don't. Is he just trying to lighten his. Was it right or was it wrong? Is he trying to lighten the perception from the U.S. government on him? Is he trying to look like the hero? He's got all this information, but he's like, man, I'm not going to tell anybody. Yeah, go me.
I don't think that. I don't think he's trying that. I mean, I see what you're saying, but because of what he's being charged under, he gets a sentence per document.
Oh,
so
really?
So he's already given numerous documents. So just saying, oh, I could have given more, but I didn't, is not going to lighten his sentence, because he gets charged per document, and it's known that he did it.
Whoa.
So,
I didn't realize it was charged per document. That's insane.
Yeah, you know what? I'm almost positive. Don't quote me on that quite yet. Yeah, that's right. He would get charged per document that he leaked.
Holy crap! Should we say how he got to the capacity to be able to do that?
Sure.
I have a timeline of him somewhere.
You do have a timeline.
Yeah. But I wanted to go back a little bit further. Okay, so June 21st, 1983 is when he was born. Between the 80s and 90s, his family moved to North Carolina. And then I think his parents got a divorce. And that's when mom moved the kids to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And then he attended Crofton Woods Elementary School, then Crofton Middle. And then he went to Arundel High School for 1.5 years before he's like, nah, I'm too smart for all these idiots. That's when he got his Nintendo and his, or no, that's, I think that's when he had his legit computer. more than a Commodore 64, and that's all he wanted to do was just play games on there.
Yeah.
Oh, 1998, he attends his first semester of 10th grade, but drops out before continuing to the second semester. And that's, I'm pretty sure that was in the book. He got mono.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that took him out of school for 4 months.
That's because he's out there kissing all the girls.
No, he wasn't. He's a nerd.
Hey, what if he listens to this?
It's all right. I think he's okay with being a nerd.
Also, I don't think he could get to us anyway.
No.
He'd
I mean,
just send us like nasty reviews on iTunes. I think this podcast sucks.
You'd have to take his rotary phone that he's hanging out with in Russia because he doesn't want any kind of data.
Yeah,
that's how he dials up to get to whatever internet. I mean, if dude wanted to find us, he could probably find us. Even being over there, and
yeah,
he's skilled enough with his rotary phone.
Yeah. Like, what are you sending a text? Are you dialing? What are you doing? You searching Facebook like that? I don't want to jump too far ahead, but he did say that he uses like a laptop or a desktop most of the time now.
Okay.
Because the NSA is more focused on mobile at this time. So they're more focused on watching what you do on your phone, because a lot of people don't have a laptop or a desktop or anything like that anymore.
Right, because you can do pretty much everything you want on your phone, which,
yeah,
according to old Edward Snowden, and I'm totally on board with, well, I completely believe what he had to say about that. They're essentially tracking devices. Your cell phone is a tracking device. It's got that MEID number, whatever it is. All they have to do is just look for your name, and then they'll find that number, because you're probably in some kind of database. You're definitely in a database with some sort of cell phone attached to you. Wouldn't be hard to track a handful, 4, 5, 6 different phone companies to your name, your address, your social security number. Then they'll find that MEID number, and then basically all they have to do is just, hey, we're here to get you.
Yeah. They can do it even without finding out your carrier and all that, because they can find out the area you're in. Like, if you're on the run and you have it and you're going through North Carolina, all they do is look up that, IMEI number?
Yeah.
They look that up, see what cell tower around it's recently connected to. Boom. They know you're, in Fayetteville or whatever.
That blows my mind.
They know you're, And remember I told you, I sent you a text and said, I saw a meme or something. It was something that said years and years ago, people were concerned about the government bugging their homes, and now we're paying for it. Now we're paying these companies to bug our homes. We have Alexa.
It's not even just our homes. We carry the tracking device around with us.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We carry the recording device. Yes.
They're always listening because they cannot tell me that it's not until I say, hey, Siri. Because when I say that, how is it listening?
Right. It's already listening. That's why
it has to be listening for that phrase.
That's why the TV. Sure. We have a Google Home, and that's why the TV, if a commercial comes on or something, it can just say, the commercial can just say it. The word, hey, Google. It'll be like, boop. Okay, what do you want?
Yeah.
And then the commercial can just do a search for you, and then suddenly Google has all this crap on you, and then you fire up your computer or your phone that has your Google account attached to it, and then boom, there's an ad for the thing that was just on TV.
It's ridiculous. I can have my phone in my pocket or just on a counter. I ask the kids, hey, you want some cereal? Because it is almost like Siri, it goes, yep, hey, what do you want? I said, no, bitch, I said cereal. Oh, it's crazy. But you can't live without them.
I know. That's another issue. They have made it so, I don't know. I don't know what came first, chicken or the egg in this situation. Who made it so that we cannot live without it? We have the Facebook. Everybody's like, oh, my God, I got to be connected to everybody all the time. But then we have this mentality where we have to connect to people. And then they've made it super duper easy. They made the user interfaces super easy so we can connect to everybody. Twitter, Facebook, even just Gmail, email, texting even. It's so easy to connect to everybody with this thing in your pocket, and then the government's like, well, we'll just go ahead and track it. No big deal.
Yeah.
Or did, I don't know, like the phone I started with, I think, was Singular.
Singular.
Yeah. That name. And I honestly do not know if there was a MEID number at that point.
Well,
that was straight up texting, and then it was just cell phone.
And then you got charged for your per text.
Right.
Outrageous.
50 text messages. That was it. And then they went unlimited text messages. Oh my God. I need that.
Dude, when they went unlimited text, I remember my first phone. I don't remember the number, but it was the Nokia one, the one that everybody had where you could change the faceplate.
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah. It was that one. And my girlfriend at the time, I don't know how old I was, 15 maybe. I talked to her on the phone, I don't know, just obscene amount of minutes. And my dad got that bill because we didn't have unlimited minutes. And he said, he lost his mind. Because the bill was over $500.
Oh, my God.
I went over, I don't remember what our minute limit was, but I went 1,500 minutes over the limit.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of minutes over.
Yeah, buddy. I wonder if they were tracking them then.
That's what I wonder. But
you could take the batteries out then.
Yeah, see, that's what Snowden did say. If you could take the battery out, then there's no power. It's not getting anything.
Right.
But now they're all phones. Pretty much any modern smartphone is a closed back.
Do you think that's on purpose? For that purpose?
That's been running around my head as soon as he said that.
Yeah, I didn't think that until he said that. And I'm like, my God, if they're tracking us, they're probably getting in with the phone manufacturers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying, hey, enclose them. Say it's for waterproofing. And
yeah,
they can never technically turn them off. Think they're off.
Right.
But they're not really.
No. The screen is off, but it's still listening. Everything is still running. Facebook is still happening. If I turn my phone on now, if I just turn the screen on, there's probably going to be something from Twitter, or there's going to be an email that pops up. There's always something running.
Yeah. Snowden was saying the same thing. That's what he was saying. Like, you have all this stuff running in the background, constantly communicating.
Yeah.
That you're not even aware of.
No.
That's how you get notifications.
Exactly. Because it's always thinking, it's always pinging the network and just checking the time and checking messages. It's constantly something.
Even so, time, yeah, I forgot about the time thing. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's a wild thing to think about, but I don't know if they've made it or if our mentality's made it, but we are in such a state of inseparability from our devices that you wouldn't know what to do without it.
Mm-hmm.
The world was fine before, but there's a lot less payphones out there now.
People literally have anxiety about not having their phone.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, me too. Because if I went, I don't know, I won't even go in the gym without having my phone on me.
Right.
Exactly. Even though I have the Apple Watch that, you know, you don't need to take your phone. But I still have it all with me. So I have an Apple Watch. I have my iPhone. I got it all. They're tracking me no matter what I do.
Exactly. But what are you going to do? I freaking love America. So I have no reason. I don't have anything on anybody to do anything. So, I mean,
you might now after this podcast. They might start tracking us. Not just this episode, but the podcast. You know, just from, like we were saying earlier, that most people don't use laptops or computers or whatever anymore. They just do it on their phone.
Yeah.
But we do our research on the computer. Just, it's easier.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Like, yeah, I can't research on my phone all day. I'd go crazy. I'd go cross-eyed. But just all the crazy searches we put in, I imagine it's lighting up, like, going crazy at the NSA. Like, well, Elijah, 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 check him, check him, check him, check him, check him.
something flashes every time we say the letters. NSA, boop, boop, CIA, boop,
yeah.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, just a strobe light in there. Because it's just blinking constantly so fast.
Hey, man, if they're going to bring our numbers up and they're going to listen to those ads, you got it, FBI guy.
Yeah. Go for it. Give us some listens.
That's fine. If you think you got to go listen to all of them, I mean, that's all right. It's anchor.fm/bringontheweird if you're...
They already know, Will. They already know. They already know what you had for lunch.
I made that pizza myself, goddammit.
Did you?
They should be proud. There's an FBI guy saying, we are proud of his pizza skills, boy.
It's because they saw it. Because you pulled the pizza out of the oven. You're waiting for it to cool down just a little bit. You pulled out your phone to see, to check your notification. Or to see if you got any notifications. Boom, that camera is facing right there. You didn't even realize. They're snapping pictures of everything.
Oh, yeah. And I get a notification from the FBI guy. That's a good-looking pizza.
He's like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to send that. He meant to send it to Frank, the next cubicle over. He accidentally sent it to you. He's like, delete, delete, delete. I'm like, yeah, you can't, once it's on the internet, you can't delete it.
It's already gone. That's light speed, baby. That's how radio frequency works. That's how we know the time of... freaking Greenwich Mean Time in a matter of seconds. Milliseconds, even.
Yeah. It's crazy. One crazy thing that Snowden said?
What?
He said that this all started because it was over, I guess, some stalker. He kept calling a lady. She saw a car drive by her house really slow. She called the police. They were like, hey, can you trace this number? Do this. See if it's that guy in the car. And then they did. He got arrested, went on trial, and they said, nope, you didn't have a warrant to check his phone records.
Mm-hmm.
But he came back and said, it's not his property. It's the phone company's property. We don't need a warrant to search his stuff. And boom, that's where it's at. The phone companies have given them permission because they don't give a shit.
No. Not at that point. They're like, oh, the police are here? Yeah, we're going to give the police any... We're going to be fully cooperative with the police.
Yeah. So, and Verizon, or Nextel... Is Nextel still around? I don't think so.
I don't know about Nextel. But
they've given them permission to, without warrant, search all our stuff.
Yeah. It was just that inadvertent... Like, more, it was completely verdant, whatever. But it just seemed like such a... innocuous thing. This lady was kind of freaked out because this dude was following her and then traced his phone number. Stalking her and constantly harassing her on the phone. And
it was him.
And it just blew up. Yeah. The judge sided with the phone company or the police, and there it was.
And ever since then, the NSA knew they had their in.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting the records from us. They're getting the record from the phone company.
Right, and that's not our property anymore.
And how many people actually own their phone? You know, most people are paying per month.
Yeah, to lease the phone or rent, I guess, rent to buy.
And then a lot of times you trade it in to get the next one.
Right.
You trade it in, they give you a little bit of money back. And
I own mine for a little while because we had the S7s, and I had mine paid off for about a year, and then suddenly... it stopped working altogether. It just went into this persistent reboot mode. And I did everything I could, but my wife, she hung on to hers for nearly a year more.
Wow.
And it's still going. We just got our new one because, well, better camera, better battery.
Yeah.
The old one, the battery was dying quick during the day. So we just got her a new phone. But now, they're not ours yet.
Yeah, so is anything on that phone yours? Is any text message yours, or does it belong to the phone company until the phone belongs? For that matter, the phone number belongs to the phone company.
True.
So anything going through that phone number to that phone number, does it belong to them? And at which point the government – I'm confused. I'm losing my mind.
You're absolutely right. We're only leasing the number. We're only borrowing the number. It's not really ours, so it's their property. Just like if you use any equipment at your place of work, it's their equipment. They can They have the capability to track all the emails. It's their equipment, so if you do something that's against the policy or whatever, then you're in a shitstorm. It's their equipment.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about how I want to phrase this. Like, there's a situation recently where a friend of a friend of a friend, we'll say it like that, she got dismissed from work, she got fired, but she had a company phone. And mm-hmm. she had been there for so long, she was just comfortable with the company phone, putting all of her stuff on the company phone. Mm-hmm. And then she got fired, so she had to turn in the company phone. And she had her Facebook on there, Messenger, all that stuff. And she mm-hmm. was in a group message with some of her coworkers.
Oh, boy.
So the boss now had the phone, and so the coworkers were still, you know, water cooler talk in the Messenger, in the messages.
Yeah.
So the boss now has his phone, seeing all this water cooler talk in these messages, and then the boss mentioned it to one of the people that were still there. She verbatim said what this still current employee said in a conversation in the Messenger, and this employee was losing her mind. Like, how did she know exactly what I said? So she finally confronted her about it, and she goes, oh, well, it's on what's her name's phone. I still have her phone. I can see all the messages. I don't know how to feel about that kind of privacy. That's some dark ethical stuff there. I think if I was the boss, just my personality, I would have wiped the phone myself. I don't think I would have dug in. Unless there was some, I don't know, if there was a crime being committed, I guess that would be one thing, but I think if it was just a dismissal because we're trying to save money, I think I would have wiped the phone until it was needed again.
This person was let go.
Yes.
Not fired. Let go because of their saving money.
Yeah. Well, she was fired. I mean.
Okay. So it wasn't, I don't know. Because, I mean, if it was.
She wasn't fired due to poor performance. She was just fired because they didn't need her
so
anymore.
If this person was fired for poor performance, I could see, as the boss, maybe looking at the phone saying, like, all right, well, what is this person doing? Like, instead of doing the job, like, are they, you know, I could see that. But snooping to snoop? No.
Just, yeah.
Despicable.
Yeah. Ethically wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
That's where I'm at with that. So that's something interesting to think about. I don't have a work phone, but I use all the work equipment at work. But like you said, with the phone company, it's not even really our phone.
Right.
Nothing is ours. So could they just get into our emails if they really had a hair in their ass about it?
Well, no. I guess it depends on what mail service you use.
I guess.
Because they don't own that server.
True.
You know, they don't own the Gmail server. Apple doesn't own that. So
Apple doesn't, and the service provider, Verizon or whatever.
Right. Right, so that's its own entity. I'm sure they could get that info. I'm sure it'd be extremely easy for them to get it.
The phone company.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure all they have to do is ask, you know, for the info. And Google doesn't give a shit about Will or Elijah, bring on the weird. They don't give a damn about us. They're going to just appease the multi-million, billion-dollar company.
Right. They're going to appease the government.
Yes.
If it came to that, they're not gonna go through all that red tape. Hey, can we get this information? Yes. That's it. If they said no, then the authorities would have to go through lawyers and red tape and documents and whatnot. And then the company that has the information would then have to lawyer up and it would just be a big giant battle.
Yeah. It's
just easier to say, yeah, here you go.
That's exactly it. Folks,
it's scary.
We have no privacy anymore. None.
Not really.
I mean, when do you? Literally, if you're sitting on the toilet, which I do every morning, and I'm scrolling through Twitter, or I'm playing Candy Crush, I guarantee you they could access my camera, or they can take a picture of me taking a dump.
It's probably on file somewhere.
I'm sure it is. People are worried about these facial recognition apps. That doesn't matter. My iPhone unlocks with my damn face anyway. I set it up. I had the option to not.
Exactly. See, that's another thing. People, they've made it so convenient. Like, oh my God, look at this thing. Nobody else can open your phone. So it's going to have to scan your face so that you can open your phone. Oh my God, what a revelation. And then the NSA is like,
exactly. And it doesn't just take, like, look at you through the camera. Like, it's got IR. Like, it can check me. It can catch me at night. I set all this up.
Right. Right.
But I freaking love it. It's so easy.
I know. See? See? They've got us. All they had to do was figure out a way to track it. And that's what our buddy Snowden did.
Yeah. It was way off. This was supposed to be about Snowden.
We already did the second half.
We might just have to make this something about, like, I don't know.
Well, 98. Have to call
it something different.
Maybe. I think so.
It's such a juicy subject, and it really gets me.
Right, because you can talk about it all day, but it doesn't matter. Because if they want you, they will get you. If you had probably, a cell, any kind
they're
of phone.
Probably you, listening to this live right now through my phone or your phone or both, or through the laptop, through my watch.
Google
Who
Home?
Knows? I might have a chip in my brain. They might know before I know what I'm going to say.
They already know.
Yeah, that sounded a little paranoid schizophrenic right there, but
but that's the state we're living in. Is it a police state? It's the illusion of freedom. It's the illusion of safety, or that's how they color it anyway. It's safety. It's protection. It's serving the world. Because I hate the term. I hate it so much. Post 9/11 world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that irks the hell out of me. What that happened when I was in college, that whole thing. But yeah. Everybody's like, oh, it's a post 9/11 world. That everything we're doing now is just a reaction to that. Because they've, according to Snowden, they felt like they failed. The NSA, CIA, FBI, military powers, they felt like they failed. So how can we make this not happen again?
Well, because they were spies. They were spies, and they didn't prevent, you know what I mean? They were supposed to be spying on that, and they failed at their job. They failed right. as a spy. Yeah.
I don't, messes me up. Post 9/11 world, so that's why we're tracking everybody. And he also said that he helped set up, I can't remember everything, timeline, and exactly how he did everything, but not everything is located in one place. There's a cloud, but there's servers and clouds and networks and blah, blah, blah that can be accessed from anywhere in the world, and it's in multiple places. So that in case one goes down for some reason, you still access all of this stuff somewhere else.
Yeah, makes sense. Like a backup.
Yeah, it's a backup. Backup cloud, which another thing that blows my freaking mind. Our videos that we're recording, and then I turn them into MP3s, they're anywhere from the MP3s of our episodes are like 30, 40 megs. If every person did that, holy crap, the amount of data that's associated with that. A movie, a Blu-ray is what, like 8 gigs?
I honestly don't know.
It could be upwards of 8 gigs. I think if you've got all the bells and whistles and, you know, 7.1 surround sound, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's backed up someplace. That's an incredible amount of data just sitting somewhere. Plus all these phone recordings and everybody's data. Just all this stuff associated with somebody. It's just sitting somewhere on a hard drive or multiple hard drives. It's definitely not a floppy disk.
Nope. Nobody uses a floppy D.
Yikes.
They don't work anymore.
Nope. You get nothing out of a floppy D.
They're 3.5 small. Not enough storage. I'm talking about storage, man.
Oh,
why are you laughing?
Because I was thinking about 3.5 versus 5.
Oh, my laptop doesn't even have a CD drive.
See, that's where we're living in. Everything is straight up digital. You can't. The physical media is on its way out. Everything is. So everything where's all this stuff at?
It's going to get to a point where they're going to have to somehow find a way to just drop massive servers into the Mariana Trench.
It's all the way down there. Then it's got to come back out.
Well, they'll have a, like a, I don't know, what is it, 35,000 feet down? Something like just that? They'll have to have really tall antennas. Massive.
It's not a skyscraper, it's an ocean scraper going down in. It's just all servers.
Yeah, because they can't take up a country doing that. They'll just drop it in the trench. The Megalodon will come out because he said, oh, shit, not that.
Bang into it.
That'll be the demise of humans. The Megalodon.
Because he chewed up all of our data.
He would come out of the trench.
Oh, because we pissed him off with all of our data.
Yeah, he saw it coming. He was like, I got to move. Yeah.
Did you see that movie, The Meg?
I did not. My daughter wants to see it.
Really?
So she says she's afraid of sharks, but she watches so, like, she brought a book of sharks home from school one day.
Awesome.
I said, are you afraid of them or do you have a respect for them? I mean, there's a difference. If you're interested in them and you respect that they can rip you to shreds, fine. But if you're afraid of them, you're not reading a book about them. You don't want to see a movie about the biggest one ever.
No.
Yeah.
So, or does she? Know. Maybe she does. Maybe she's all about that shark life. She
loves getting scared.
By sharks? She's all about that shark life. She just loves to get scared by sharks.
Baby shark, doo-doo-doo-doo. No. it's stuck in my head for a week now. Damn it.
Should we talk a little bit more about Snowden?
I guess if you want. I mean, I think this episode went way off from what we wanted.
I guess we're not going to talk about Snowden. We're just going to talk about police states. How post 9/11 world. Man, I hate that term.
I mean, it could literally just be about how we're being tracked. It could just, the whole episode could be about how the CIA, not the CIA, the NSA, or is it CIA? Probably the CIA. But
yeah, he was part of all of them.
Yeah, like the whole episode is about how they're tracking us. And Snowden, he seems a little goofy, but we wouldn't have known if it wasn't for Snowden.
It's true. We would not have known. We would not have connected those dots without his whistleblowing.
Yeah, or whoever the other Snowden, quote unquote Snowden, would be. Eventually, someone's going to blow that whistle.
Right.
Right.
I assume. Where would their duty be? Somebody had to have done it, and somehow whatever course of events led him to that. Somehow he was, however he grew up, his love of the public, love of American people, whatever it was, his course of events led him to a point where he felt like he needed to do this in the way that he did it.
You and I know somebody eventually would have leaked it. Eventually, someone is going to blow the whistle.
Sure.
So, at the time, Snowden had what he described as an excellent girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, he loved her like crazy. She was always there. He loved her.
Still does. But
he took into his own hands to leak this info, knowing that he couldn't be here anymore. If he would have just thought, like, hey, eventually someone's going to leak this. Like, maybe. So, if I was in his shoes, I would have thought, eventually someone's going to leak this. I really don't want to ruin my life. Maybe I'll just tell my close loved ones, hey, like, let's take it easy with the smartphones, not back then, but was it? When was this?
13.
Yeah.
It was, so 2013 is when, yeah, we had smartphones then.
Yeah.
Is when the first documents came out. It was the British daily newspaper, The Guardian. That released the first of the documents or whatever it is.
Yeah. So if I were in his shoes, I don't think I would have done it, man. Because I would think eventually someone else is going to come along with a lot less to lose than me who will leak this. I'll tell my close friends, my close family, let's take it easy on the internet. They're watching us.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't even say they're watching us. Because then if that... you know, spreads out, rumors, it starts trickling out, then it comes back to you.
But did he think it would have been better, it wouldn't have been so insane on him, since he didn't actually say things himself, He still took all this stuff, but he didn't actually leak it himself. He gave it to journalists. He gave it to less biased third parties, other parties.
Actually, no, because towards the end of the book, by the end, he says he knew. Like, he wrote Lindsay. Lindsay was his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he didn't write her. Oh, yeah, he wrote her a note. They were in Hawaii at the time. They were living in Hawaii because of, I guess he was working at an NSA headquarters there. And he wrote her a note. He had invited his mom out because he knew what he was going to do.
Oh.
And it was just Lindsay and his mom. And he knew that they would comfort each other with what he was about to do. He left her a note saying, hey, you got to go, getting sent out for work. And she, you know, she didn't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
But should I go with the ending, the happy ending?
You want to save it for the second half?
I mean, it's just, yeah, sure. I'll probably forget.
No, you won't. Won't let you.
Okay.
Man, we've been recording for quite some time.
Oh, my God.
Without a break. We need to settle down, take ourselves a break. This might be an extra long episode, or it could be two shorties. We'll make a two-parter.
Honestly, we could probably finish this up and not do what we talk about doing. Do you think? With how long we've gone?
And just slip in a break somewhere in there?
Yeah, what do you think?
Okay, let's do it. Where did Snowden... Wasn't it in Hong Kong? He met up with the journalists in Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's right.
That was before 13. Damn it.
Because that's 13... June 14th, 2013 is when they officially charged him, the government did. May 20th, 2013, he took a flight to Hong Kong, China, where he remained as he orchestrated a meeting with the journalist from the UK publication The Guardian, as well as filmmaker Laura Poitras.
Okay.
So what's really interesting is how he got the stuff out of the NSA.
I didn't get to that. So how did he actually get it out? He's a smart dude, so I'm sure it didn't really take a whole lot of finagling.
So they track everything you do.
Sure.
So if you take a file off of the computer and put it somewhere, it tracks that you did that.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, hey, what did you do? So in one area, they had these old computers. Old, they're not being used, nothing like that. So he was what seemed to be like a big shot, sort of. There. He wasn't like a top guy or anything like that, but he was good at his job, so people didn't really question him much. So he grabbed one of the old computers, and he was seeing, he told the guards or whatever that he was trying to run certain programs on these old computers to see if they still worked. So what this little cunning dude did, he took all those things, took them off of the computer that's being tracked, put it on the old one. They saw it, but they didn't think anything of it. And then instead of using a thumb drive, because you get searched in and out, he used micro SD cards.
What?
Yeah. Put the info on the micro SD card. He said it took like 8 hours download stuff to it because it was so slow. He would take off one of the cubes of the Rubik's Cube, put the SD card inside of the cube, pop it back on. He was always walking around fidgeting with a Rubik's Cube. And people were like, "What? All right, this guy's a little weird." And then it became like his thing. So people always knew, hey, Eddie's got us, you know, he's always messing with the Rubik's Cube. So they never checked it. Nice. I mean, what are they? They're going to check it. Like, they're not going to know.
Right. That's so he really, really thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
It was he messed with them psychologically, too.
Yeah, so because he said that he would talk to the guards. He knew all the guards. He knew their different personalities. He would make friends with them.
That's slick.
Yeah.
He was a slick cat, too.
So when he goes to Hong Kong to meet the journalists, he tells them, look for the guy with the Rubik's Cube. Yeah, so because he said he didn't really want to use the Rubik's Cube because it sort of made him stand out.
Yeah.
But he wanted something that would make him stand out a little bit. Something a little...
just slightly odd.
Something they would notice. They're not going to notice a guy who has a white ball cap on.
Right.
There could be 60 of them.
Right. The guy in the Adidas jacket. No. Every other person has an Adidas jacket.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Snowden?
No, I'd never watched it. Did you?
Yeah, I did. Years ago, and I forgot it was even a movie until he was talking in the book about him messing with the Rubik's Cube. And I was like, oh, shit, I remember this. And then I remembered the movie. It had, like, what is it, Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know there was a movie. I guess I just blanked that out of my mind, like this whistleblower, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Who is this guy? Whatever.
Yeah, it was. That was, if I remember correctly, that was pretty good. And it seemed to be fairly accurate with what his book said.
The movie?
Yeah. So that's, they somehow got his story.
Well, Oliver Stone, he doesn't mess around. It was directed by Oliver Stone.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he must have gotten that full story pretty well before this book, well before this book ever came out.
But that, I mean,
it's not like Snowden's not telling his story.
Right.
So it's not like it was a secret. That's how he makes a living, doing speaking engagement.
Yeah, right. What, that seems so crazy to me, but I guess, you know, whatever you got to do in Russia.
I was talking to my wife, and she was like, how did he get a book published? I'm like, how is it for sale? Like, who published it? And I was like, yeah, that's a good question. Why is it for sale here? Is it free speech?
I think so. Free speech, freedom of the press, that kind of thing. So, but isn't there some sort of, they're trying to sue him and the publisher because they didn't go through, because they are talking about these United States government agencies, those agencies wanted to have a part in what the content of the book was, so now they're suing them because they couldn't get their hands on it before it was published.
Yes.
That's what I got out of a conversation.
Yeah, they're trying to sue him for all the proceeds of this memoir, book.
That's what half of it is just his life.
Yeah, I mean, if honestly, it's well written. So I know we keep saying, like, we're kind of talking bad about this book. It's well written. It just wasn't at all what I expected.
No. He comes off, he is an extremely intelligent guy, but he comes off as arrogant because he's like, I know these things, and nobody else knows these things, and I've just told everybody these things because I found out these things, and I did these things. Calm down. We get it.
Yeah.
You're a hero, you're an anti-hero, just settle down, dude. I mean, thanks for doing that, but I guess that's my fight, is did he do it to look like a hero, look like an anti-hero, or was he actually doing a public service? I don't think he wanted to be isolated in Russia, but
that's crazy too, that Russian thing, how he ended up there.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't. Before, I thought Snowden an American hero.
Yeah.
After, I gotta be honest with you, after listening to him on Rogan and then reading his book, or listening to his book, it's easier for me. Guys, I know how to read. It's just easier for me at work to listen. I am leaning more towards, he wanted to be known.
A little bit of narcissism in there?
Yeah.
There's a level.
And I could be 100% wrong, but just the way the book comes off, that, you know.
A little narcissistic. He wanted to, I don't know if he wanted to be the hero. There's things, it's a whole lot of grayness for me. There's the things that sounds like he wanted to be the hero. He did all these things. Like you said about the Rubik's Cube, he made people familiar with the fact that he was carrying around this Rubik's Cube, so he manipulated people psychologically.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. And then he did all these things, so did he want to be the hero? What kind of outcome? It would really be, I don't know. What kind of outcome did he want? What did he expect? Did he expect us to carry him on our shoulders and suddenly the government will just collapse all around us? Or does he want somebody to pay? Like, who's going to pay at this point? How many people are involved in this? Who would make them pay? The United Nations?
No.
Is this a war crime? Because
no,
other countries are being bugged too.
Maybe he was hoping for a revolution.
What are we going to do? Push down the White House?
Or here's a crazy thought I literally just now came up with. He wanted to go to the South Pacific, right? That was his plan. Or South America.
Latin America.
Yeah.
Down there.
Beautiful there, right? It's gorgeous.
Sure.
So his plan was he was going to leave Hong Kong and go there. So his plan was, I'm going to get my name out there, and then I'm going to go live out the rest of my life in this beautiful area, this tropical paradise. I'm going to find me a Latin girl down there. I'm going to love it. And then, so I think his plan all along was get his name out there and then just live out the rest of his life, just loving life.
I guess.
But instead, leaving Hong Kong, he's got a layover in Russia, get screwed.
They canceled his passport. The United States canceled his United States passport. I guess he didn't think of everything on his way out. So
honestly, while he what he should have done is give him the info, said, hey, give me like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days before you come out with this.
How did that work exactly? He left May 20th, but then it wasn't until June 5th that the first headlines were published.
I don't think so. I think my understanding is that they were posting stuff or they were putting reports out while they were still there talking to him.
Oh.
Because they were there several days, I think, talking to him.
Oh.
And while they were having their talks, that's why they were in Hong Kong. Because he was trying to figure out where to set up this meeting. He couldn't do it in America, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it in Russia because of America, Russia. They would automatically assume that he'd been turned by the Russians. So he set it up in Hong Kong. Well, I guess they're pretty lenient on federal crimes or government crimes against the government.
Yeah.
And so they flew out to Hong Kong. They started doing their thing, and as he was talking to them, they were releasing stuff, and they were getting phone calls like from people like, where is this guy at? Where is he? Like, they're trying to figure out where Snowden is.
So then they finally started tracking his passport.
I guess. I assume they just used his real name in the very first report. I didn't even look at the reports. I should have looked at the reports.
No, I didn't.
I'm literally the worst investigator ever.
We've only been doing it for a couple of minutes.
That's true. So I guess we're about to wrap it up, right?
Yeah, we should.
So
definitely.
Should I give you the happy ending?
Oh, all right. The Scooby-Doo ending.
Yeah, so, you know, he left his girlfriend. She didn't know what happened to him. She thought he died, this and that. And then by the end of the book, Lindsay comes to visit him. Now, Lindsay is now Lindsay Snowden.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
And they live in Russia. She missed him like crazy. Like, honestly, that part of the book was kind of sad. Because he put in parts of her diary that she allowed him to. She allowed him to put those parts in. But like listening, those pages were read. It was like chapter 28, 29, something, the end of the book.
Okay.
And it was kind of sad because she was like, I don't know if he's dead. I don't know where he is. Like, this isn't like him, this and that. And then by the end, you know, somehow he gets a hold of her. They get married. And now they live in Russia. 6 years in Russia, by the way.
Happy ending for old Snowden. So at this point, he doesn't really.
I think he just has like a little 3-year visa every time. And they can literally revoke that. Like, they don't have to renew it next time.
And then what?
Well, all right. I know we got to go. But so he said he will come back to America if the government will give him a fair jury trial. In his words, they refuse. So
time will tell.
Yeah. So, all right, we won't get into it because I know we got to get out of here. But so yeah, look it up, watch him on Rogan or listen to him on Rogan. If you like memoirs, listen or read the book.
Yeah.
I don't like memoirs. I mean, it's just not my thing.
It was too much biography, too much autobiography for my taste.
Yeah, but I mean, it was well written.
Yeah,
I'll say that it was well written.
But I think we're gonna end it here. Let us know your thoughts on this state of illusion of freedom. Pretty on the weird at gmail.com. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/BringOnTheWeird.
Mm-hmm.
Hit us on Twitter @BringOnTheWeird. But for now, I think we're gonna call it. We'll just slip a break in there somewhere.
Yeah, we didn't. This was not our typical recording, but I think it might have worked out.
I think so. It's all right. Not completely a little this, a little that. Okay, we were focused. Very focused. Sort of very focused. All right. Stay weird, world.
We'll see you guys next time.